Welcome to PM Lessons Learned, a podcast for project managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Increase your PM knowledge, build business relationships, increase your effectiveness, increase your marketability, gain professional support. Join our group and take part in our conference calls. Details at pmlessonslearned.com.
Hello, I'm Henry Will. Welcome to another pmlessonslearned.com podcast. This is episode number 5. In this episode, we will hear the PM Lessons Learned conference call from the 21st of September, 2006. The lesson learned topic presented was Stakeholder Management, Ignore It at Your Project's Peril. The career segment was on the subject of using business cards and networking with people and what to talk about with them. I presented quite a few PM resources as well. So, let's listen into the call.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another PMLessonsLearned.com conference call. This is the call for September the 21st, 2006, and welcome to all you project managers and those studying for the project manager test, the PMP exam, and, of course, those that are friends of project management. I want to give you an overview of the call. I would ask that you all try to keep your talking to about 2 minutes to give everyone else a chance to speak. So if you could leave a pause, and then you'll see that'd be a good way for us to be able to converse with one another. Before I start out, I want to say hello out there in conference call land to all you project managers. The reason I'm saying that is because tonight I want this call to be an interactive one. We've changed the format around just a little bit so that we can allow time for people to ask general project management questions. The reason that we have PMLessonsLearned.com is this is a group to empower project managers and people studying for the PMP test. Hopefully, project managers are going to share their lessons learned and help others at the same time to get their names recognized out there in project management. It's all about project managers helping project managers. Now, what I'd like to share, too, is that we're recording this call, and we are making our recordings available, and that information is located on our website. The last two calls that we had are available already by telephone. You can call in and listen to those calls. The information is also posted on our Yahoo group, which you can get to via the link on our website. I would suggest that everybody joins the Yahoo group because the Yahoo group has a lot of pertinent information to our group. It's a low-volume email list. I'm trying to keep it down to only one email a week. Can't beat those numbers. I know we all have got enough email to read, so I'm trying to keep the numbers low as far as how many emails we send out. And also, if you join the Yahoo group, you'll get reminders of the calls, and you'll get follow-up information. For those of you that are on the Yahoo group, you know that you got some extra information this week that we'll share with everybody on the call later. Now, today we have with us Debbie Neuscheller. She'll be sharing with us about stakeholder management. Next month, we already have a call set up for October the 19th, and our guest will be author Jim Balock of Summit Quest. He's going to be talking about the 3-day, 5-day rule, conflict management, and keeping your project on schedule. Let me first give you an overview of our agenda for today. I told you that we'd move things around a little bit. We're going to start out with questions and answers this time so that project managers will be encouraged to participate and ask questions about relative items that they would like to share information or perhaps ask questions about things that they'd like to know. Then I'll be sharing some project management resources. I have a lot to share this month because I've been talking to a lot of people in our group. Then we'll have the PM Lessons Learned shared by Debbie Neuscheller. And after that, we'll be having a career segment for project managers. We'll have this all done in an hour, and for those of you that would like to stay on the call, at the end of the hour, we'll be stopping the recording, and then we'll be opening it up to people on the call. We're having a network segment. We started this last month. It was very successful. We had a recruiter of project managers on the phone. We had several people asking questions and sharing information and contacting each other, and we'll all get a chance to know each other a little bit. Now, at this time, I'm going to start the Q&A session. What I would like to say is, for anyone that would like to ask a project management-related question, and I'll be able to acknowledge you, but so go ahead and do that now at this time if you'd like to ask a project management-related question. And while we're waiting for people to raise their hands, I'll introduce our panel of project managers for this month. This month, again, we have Barbara Fuller as one of our panelists. She recently spoke at a national IT conference on the subject of integrating project management and business process management with the balanced scorecard. She recently also had an article published on the projectsatwork.com website. For those of you out there that are regulars on this call, you know that I've mentioned that website before. The title of her article is called The Other PM. It's a real-life story of integrating process management with project management to increase the amount of quality of the work done and the amount of work done by an IT division, and this earned her the title of the process queen. You can contact Barbara via her website at Process and Project Solutions. That's processandprojectsolutions.com. I will be sending out a synopsis of this call afterwards with all of these links. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you very much for being on board. I see that we got one question already. Let me go ahead and introduce the other panelists, and we'll get to that question. Mara Burns is our second panelist for this evening. She's a PMO developer with over 25 years of technical and managerial experience. She's worked for Fortune 500 companies, and she's authored several articles on project management and design training courses. You can reach her at MaraDBurns@yahoo.com. Welcome, Mara.
Thank you, Henry.
Thanks for being with us. And then our next panelist, he is not new to you regulars because you heard him speak to us last month is Stephen Blaise. Steve is a PMP, and he's currently working on the project management process for the Federal Reserve Bank and the business analysis process for a government contracting company in Virginia. He's been a project manager since 1969. Steve, you started when you were 3 years old, right? He's been looking forward to December when he can stop this foolishness and return to Key West for the rest of the year before starting up again in 2007. And I think Steve is the one that has his hand raised. Hold on a second.
Yeah, that's me.
The next panelist is our guest panelist for this month. It's Debbie Neuscheller. She is a senior VP of Harleysville Insurance, and she spent more than a decade focused on strategic deployment and execution of business process improvement methodologies. She has done special emphasis on the Six Sigma and financial services, and she served in the senior leadership roles in a number of Fortune 500 firms, including J.P. Morgan Chase, GE Capital, Modular Space, GE Financial Assurance, PricewaterhouseCoopers.
All of that.
Debbie, I don't know. Do we deserve to have you on the call?
Henry, all of that is to say is obviously I can't hold a job. So thank you for the introduction.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, at this time I'd like to entertain some questions. Let's see if somebody out there has a question related to project manager now that we have some distinguished project managers on the call to answer our questions. I'm going to give it a minute here to give you folks a chance. Come on, who's going to be first? I'm patient. Okay, we have a question.
My name's John Alzik. I'm over in Ramsey, New Jersey. My question is, are we going to get into discussion of project management as it relates to disaster recovery and business continuity coordination?
That's a good one. I like that. What was your name again?
John Alzik. It's O-W-S-I-K.
And you would like talk about the project management as it relates to disaster recovery?
And business continuity.
Does he have a specific question on that subject?
No, I've been doing coordination for the last 5 years, and I'm unemployed right now because my company did a rework. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But I've been doing it for 5 years, and prior to that, I've been basically in application development on a mainframe for about 30 years prior to that. I welcomed the change in course with my career path. I enjoy doing coordination of disaster recovery, and I've worked with SunGuard availability. I'd just like to know if we're going to discuss anything that might be useful or enhance my capabilities in that area.
Well, I got to tell you that I don't think that we have anything planned specifically in that area for tonight, but you know what? If you could contact me via the Contact Us link on the website, I would like to give you a call and perhaps we can talk and maybe we can come up with a speaker that would be a good speaker on that subject in one of the near future calls.
Okay.
Right?
I'm relatively new to the ETP network, so you're going to have to give me some pointers on exactly how to get in contact with you.
Sure. Well, anybody that wants to get in contact with me can go to the PMLessonsLearn.com website and click on the Contact Us link on the left-hand side, fill out a box, and that'll send an email to me.
Okay.
All right?
Sounds good.
Okay, good. Any other questions out there?
Hey, John, this is Debbie. I do, if you have a chance, I would check out the IBM website, and I know that over the last few months, they had a huge task force in place that was looking at the whole issue of contingency planning and business support in the event of a endemic as a result of the bird flu. And I don't know if they've gone public with what their findings were, but they have put a lot of effort into it in terms of understanding how not only just how they, IBM themselves, could support their clients in the event of that type of event, but also trying to get a sense of what the global impact to the overall economy would be in the event of a pandemic. So I'd probably check the website and do some external research on that. I don't know if that would lead to any particular job openings, but one never knows.
Yeah, okay, I appreciate that. I'm also interested in if anybody has a contact inside at the IBM Sterling Forest facility. That facility is not too far from where I live, and they do recovery there very similar to what SunGuard does.
Thank you very much, John, for sharing that information, because that's one of the things that we'll be covering in our networking portion of our call. When we're done with this call, we'll open up the lines after we finish recording this call. And that's exactly what our group is all about, is helping each other out. So thanks for sharing that, and what we'll do is we will get your contact information, and then we can share that with the group. I'm going to be discussing in a few moments during the resource section, I'll be discussing the some of the information that I've gathered recently and how I intend to share that the group through the Yahoo group.
Henry, this is Barbara. When you get the gentleman's contact information, send it on to me, because I know there was another specialty group that I thought Rod had helped facilitate, and is on specifically on business continuity. In fact, I had been invited to their first call, which I couldn't make, and I think it was last month. So if you send that to me, I can gather that information and send it on to him.
Okay, I'll do that. We've got another caller on the line. Could you please give us your name and your name and your question, please?
Henry, this is David Radkovich. I help customers deliver their IT projects and services on a global basis. I was actually going to respond to the previously caller, but I'll go ahead and wait till after the network session afterwards. I raised my hand before you said that. So.
Okay, that's fine, David. Thank you very much. And just so everybody knows, David is somebody I've talked to before. He's one of the people that's involved in a PMP study group. I'll be talking about that more in a few minutes here when I talk about the PM resources. Actually, why don't I go ahead and get right into that segment of the call, PM resources. The idea behind this PMLessonsLearn.com group is not only to share information over the conference call, but it's also so that we can share these type of concerns with each other, or things that we could need and use each other's help with. So one of the things that I'm going to be putting together, and for those of you in the Yahoo group, you've seen a couple of emails come out in the past few weeks is every month I'm going to compose a help each other out email so that people in the group can help each other out. How do you become a member? Well, you just sign up for the Yahoo group. That's all it is. It's free, so there's no cost to it. And that's how you become a member of the PMLessonsLearned.com group. Same thing with the ETP network. John just mentioned the ETP network run by Rod Colon. They are the ones that sponsor this call, ETP Network, and you can find their website at etpnetwork.com. They also have a Yahoo group as well that you can join. No fee there either. So this once a month I'm going to be sending this help each other out email. And what I'm going to be asking is that people like John and others, could you please send us information via the website of things that we can help you all out with? Let me give you some examples of some of the things that I've done in the past month. For those of you in the Yahoo group, you saw these things coming out. I'm setting up relationships with recruiters that recruit project managers. The email that I sent out a few weeks ago listed, I think, at least 5 jobs in the project management field. These recruiters need our help to help fill these jobs. So perhaps you or somebody that you know is looking for a job that fits one of those job requirements. And if they do, just contact me via the Contact Us link on the website, and we'll get you in touch. The other thing that I sent out emails on, and again, I'm going to put these all together in this one email once a month, is some project managers that are looking for jobs, project managers that are out of work, that are looking for something. We need to help these people out to find some work. And I also sent out an email having to do with, David was on the line just recently here a few moments ago, about PMP study groups. David has a group. They're meeting currently, I think, in Parsippany. They've met in Mount Olive, New Jersey. And I have several other people around in different areas that want to start groups, but they need to find more people in the area that they live. I'll be sending them out on this once-a-month email, too. In order to make this work, we need everybody's cooperation. If you see something on the list, then just contact me via the contact link. If they want to have something added to the list, then send it to me before the beginning of the month so that I can get it into the list to be sent out so that we can help you out. I'm going to be sending this out on the first of the month, so get your information to me before then, and we'll circulate that with each other. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that I've been talking to various people in project management. I've mentioned before the PMPodcast.com. There's a man by the name of Cornelius, and I talked to him just last week. Barbara Fuller, one of our guest panelists, got me in touch with him through a contact she had, and I talked to him because he does a once-a-week podcast on project management, which is very good, and I highly recommend if you have iTunes, if you like to connect with your computer to listen to it, that's fine. It's great. You can listen on your computer or any MP3 player or iPod, whatever. And he talked to me and gave me pointers about how to get our recordings out on podcasts. Also, the other thing I wanted to mention is that the New Jersey chapter of PMI, some of us met each other there at the meeting this past Tuesday. They have a fall PMP exam review class. It's a very good one. It's very highly recommended. I recommend it. I know people that teach in this class. You can go to the PMINJ.org website for information on that. They also are celebrating the International Project Management Day on November the 2nd of this year with a Professional Development Day. Again, information is on their website, and I'll distribute all this information out to the Yahoo group. I had a talk with John Hadley the other day. I told you that I had recommended in other calls his website, jhacareers.com. Well, he's got a free teleclass coming up on 5 secrets to getting the job that you will love. That sounds really interesting to me. I hope to participate. There's one tomorrow at noon. If you sign up right after this call, you can probably get in on that call, he told me. He's also got another one coming up on Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. Again, you can sign up on his website. If you can't find it, then look for John Hadley Careers. That's jhacareers.com, or you could search on it for Google through Google. I recently was contacted by Aaron Shenhar and Joka Stefanovic of Stevens Institute of Technology. They have a website, and I'll send that out with the recap of this meeting, They have an SPL maturity assessment tool, and they're looking for project managers to spend about 15 minutes to fill out a questionnaire. It's not a lot of effort to do that, but the benefits to the PM community can be significant. They're going to make the research findings available on the Internet to the participants, and to anyone that would want to, they could get personalized reports on the data that they contributed. I've also been talking to Justin over at MKS. MKS has a product that helps project managers out. It integrates with Microsoft Project. It allows project managers to manage the process around the project, prevent bottlenecks, provide visibility through dashboard and different reports, track changes, facilitate collaboration between groups involved in the development cycle, and ensure the project is meeting the business goals. They're going to have a webinar coming up where they will share best practices on how to create, capture, and use metrics to your advantage to improve software project estimation and execution. So you might be interested in that webinar coming up. I'll send information out on the recap of this meeting. And also, in October, we're having a guest panelist, Jim Balock. I mentioned this a few minutes ago. He wrote a book called Project Management Best Practices A to Z, and he's making that available to all PMLessonsLearned.com members. And all the members of the group, if you want to join through the free Yahoo group, you can purchase his book for $15, and he's willing to sign it for our members. Again, I'll send that information in the recap. And I wanted to mention, too, that there is a Congress coming up, a Project World and World Congress coming up in Orlando in November this year. They have 100 speakers that are going to appear. It's a World Congress for Project Managers and Business Analysis in the United States. They're going to have Harold Kirzner, and they're going to have George Ross. He's the Executive VP and the Senior Counsel for the Trump Organization, and you've probably seen him on The Apprentice. This sounds like it's going to be a great seminar and day down there at Orlando, and I'll send out information on that. Also, I'll send out information on the projectmanagementblog.com. I recently found that this past month and found that to be very helpful. And I also talked to Diana Lindstrom. She has a website called shipwreckedproject.com. And if you take a look at it, you'll see there's a shipwreck right there on her website. She also has a blog, and she's involved in the SDB plus PM forum that I told you that we have for project managers. Our past speaker, Alex Brown, is a moderator of that forum site, and she'll be speaking with us probably in November. I'm trying to set that up. I also wanted to mention that a lot of these links are out on our PM Lessons Learned Yahoo group for your edification and enjoyment. Again, we need your feedback. I hope that you'll all be sending information in to me so that we'll have it by the end of the month to share with our Help Each Other Out email that I'll be sending out. So that's enough of listening to my boring voice. Now it's time to get together and listen to our PM Lessons Learned again. Tonight we have Debbie Neuscheller. She's going to be sharing with us stakeholder management. Ignore it at your project's peril. That's the topic of her presentation. She's going to be talking about stakeholders. Who are they? Why are they so important? We talk about stakeholder analysis and turning analysis into action. Debbie, thank you very much for joining us. We're really excited about your topic this evening.
Thank you, Henry. And to all of you who are looking at the clock saying, boy, this is getting past my bedtime, let me assure you that I will be brief. I did supply Henry with a copy of a full presentation on this topic. It will be available through the Yahoo website, so if you're interested, feel free to download that at some point. So I'm going to keep it very simple under the premise that not all of you would have that in front of you. So without further ado, what I've called this topic in the past is it's the art of herding cats. And I think all of us would agree that while we could have a great project manager, a well-defined and well-scoped project, a sufficient budget, and reasonably adequate time to complete a project, those last two obviously are always a challenge, even under the best of circumstances, But in any event, even with all those things lined up and signed, sealed, and delivered with the project executive or whoever the senior sponsor is, my premise is this, that unless you have completely understood who your project stakeholders are, unless you have done your homework to understand their needs, their interests, and where they stand vis-a-vis supporting your project, you could well be walking into a minefield when it comes time to implement your project. So what I will say is that I'm going to give you at the end a very, I'm going to say it now and I'll go back to it at the end. It's a very simple equation that sounds so simple that at first you think, well, what's so revolutionary? But if you're like me, the more you think about it in the long run, the more it will have power. So here's the equation. Q times A equals B. Q is the quality, the technical solution that you come up with, how good it is, whether it's the most advanced technology, whether it's a completely redesigned process, whether it's combined with an organizational structure that drives accountability and measurement, all those good things. You could have the very best technical solution coming out of your project. However, without the A part of the equation, which is awareness, awareness by the part of the key stakeholders, awareness by the part of the right senior management executives, awareness by the part of the internal customers that will be executing your project's intent, your end result, the E, which is the effectiveness, has to be a function of both the quality and the awareness. So do the math in your head. You could have a quality outcome and a solution that is right up there, 10 of 10. And if you've done no work whatsoever to socialize, frame, connect with, help people understand their role in the project's success, and so you give yourself a rating of 1 on a scale of 1 to 10 on the A side, your E, your sum total is still 10. Conversely, you could get to a far less technologically sophisticated, mature, advanced solution. Say you give it a 5, but if you spend just a little bit more time on the stakeholder side, on the awareness side, you're still going to come up with the same end result. Your effectiveness is a 10. I'll come back to that at the close, but keep that in mind as we talk a little bit about stakeholders and why they're so important. First of all, in my mind, a stakeholder is really anyone who has a vested interest in either the success or the failure of the project. I'm not talking about just upward stakeholders that you have to be mindful of from a management managerial perspective. I'm talking about the people that will have to use your solution, the people that will have to communicate about it, people that will have to evaluate it. So stakeholders can be all the way to the top of the organization as well as to the front line of the organization based on the project that you're working on. One of the main reasons that projects, even the best laid plans, even the best followed timelines, even the most experienced project managers can fail when political realities in the organization undermine what you're trying to do, when you have not adequately set expectations around what your project is about, so that you have a failure to meet expectations because your stakeholders are expecting one thing, when in fact you always knew all along you were delivering something else. When obviously you have lack of measurement, but that could be a whole nother topic, and we won't get into that tonight. And ultimately, when people approach the outcome of your project, it's a change. And the human reaction to change is to be fearful. Some people do a better job of adjusting to change than others, but clearly something new introduces fear into an environment. Therefore, the more you understand about your stakeholders in this project, the more you have the opportunity to influence them. So let's think about a circle, and let's think about three steps. First, you need to identify who your stakeholders for? What is the context of your project? What are the cultural realities of the business that you're working in? What could be some potential, who are the potential resistors? Who are the potential or the most important positive influencers that you know you have in your hip pocket? Lay those out, and I'll give you a, I'll describe a tool to you in a minute called a stakeholder map or stakeholder analysis that you can use to do that. But first you need to identify who they are. And at this point, you really need to be explicit. So you can't just say that marketing is a stakeholder, because if it's a multiple person or a large marketing organization, that's not going to be explicit enough to help you develop a strategy that would actually help you move the needle on those specific people in marketing that are important to your project. So first identify your stakeholders. Continuing around the wheel, now what strategies do I need to put in place to influence those stakeholders? What kind of communication do I need? What is their role in the project? Do they understand their role? Do I understand their role as the project manager? Then once I've decided what my strategy is to communicate to them and to drive influence, I need to set up some kind of a feedback loop that says, well, once I implement my strategy to influence them, is it having the intended effect? At the end of the day, again, depending on the size of your project and the number of stakeholders you have, this might be something as formal as some kind of a survey or a focus group. If it's a smaller project and the reality is there's only a few thorns in your side from a stakeholder perspective, it could be as basic as taking the person to lunch, coffee, and getting the feedback around whether you believe that they're coming around to understanding their role and what the project benefits are. So think about that as a cycle. Identify, define what your influence or communication strategy is, implement that strategy, check for feedback. So plan, do, check, act, right? You've heard that a million times. So let's, my last part of this then will be think about a tool that allows you and your project team to evaluate your stakeholders. And again, this will be in the Yahoo presentation. Create a rectangle, divide it up into 9 quadrants. On the x-axis would be what are, is the potential reaction to change that one of your stakeholders will have around the project. Going from left to right, who are my opponents? Who are the people who are on one end, on the left side, all the way up right? Who are the people that are enthusiastic? And then in the middle, who is somewhat neutral? That would be their reaction to the potential change that your project will bring about. On the y-axis, what's the impact of the change? How much will they experience the change as a result of your project being implemented? At the bottom is low, at the top is high. Obviously, if you follow the quadrants, in the upper right would be the people who are hugely enthusiastic and who will be significantly impacted by change. If you can get those people to be your spokespersons, if you can get those people to be your cheerleaders, if you will, you could probably move a lot. At the other end of the rectangle would be the people who are opponents, who also will be heavily impacted by your project. They obviously the ones that you need to work on, because if they are vocal and they are impacted by the change in a negative way and they have a high degree of influence in the organization, that's where you need to focus your energies. In the middle are your neutral parties, and obviously you can never say that you can just completely ignore them, because the reality is, as we all know, sometimes that passive-aggressive behavior does us in at the end. So on your people who are neutral, right in the middle of that matrix, you want to really assess that individual by individual. Once you've mapped out where they fall, and one thing I will say about this exercise is that while you want it to be incredibly explicit, this is something that once you do it with your team, it doesn't leave the team. This is clearly not a document that you want to socialize. This is not a document that you want to leave lying around the copy machine. As I can speak from experience, when that happens, that is really a career-limiting move. So once you've identified the stakeholders, then let's think about a strategy. And using a basic Excel matrix, lay out the individual, where they stand on the project, then start to brainstorm what are the reasons for their resistance, or frankly, or even better, why are they so supportive? And then next to that, you need to list some specific actions that you and the team members, either individually or as a group, will take to address that stakeholder. And obviously, being good project managers, you are also going to assign that a date. And that is your tool as the PM to say, hey, are we keeping track on this particular topic? I might not put these action items explicitly in my project plan. Maybe just because my project plan might be a somewhat public document, I might just list out stakeholder management follow-up and leave it at that for the public documents. But the people assigned to the actions obviously need to know who they're addressing. So with that, I will come back to my equation, Q times A equals E. And do not underestimate the amount of effort that it takes to get that A where you need it to be. If you focus solely on the technical quality of the outcome, you could completely miss the boat relative to an effective outcome. And I bet all of us would have stories to tell about projects where we saw that happen, and a huge investment in time and effort went completely underutilized because the stakeholders never really got it, didn't understand it, or couldn't use it. So that is the moral of my story for this evening, and I'll let Henry let us know whether people have some reactions to that, some things to share, or some questions to ask.
Thank you very much, Debbie. Again, like Debbie said, we try to make this interactive. Push 1-1 on your phone, raise your hand, and we can acknowledge your question or your comment. I'm waiting now for somebody to push 1-1. On their phone to raise their hands. In the meantime, why don't we open it up to the other panelists? Do any of the other panelists have any questions or comments on this while we're waiting for somebody to push 1-1 to raise their hand?
This is Barbara. I definitely agree with Debbie. I had not thought of it in such a formalized way, but very, very good way to quantify, because I've seen huge efforts try to come in and change an organization, and it just kind of baffles my mind when people would bring change in, and there was so much resistance because it isn't about, as Debbie stated, just the, you know, somebody signing up, you know, like a CIO or, you know, a CEO signing up for something. If the people that it's going to affect most are going to be affected, if they are against it and you never try to understand why they're resisting it, because another good thing is to really to try to find out, why is there the resistance? Because you may be doing something that, you know, that people believe should be done, but the people that's been doing the job, maybe there is reason for that resistance. So you really need to dig for those answers, because one is going to be unsuccessful. Two, if you really find out the reasons for their resistance, you may get some information on how to change it around, because maybe they really know what's going on.
I see that we have a question here. Hold on a second. Let's see if we can. Why don't you go ahead and state your name and what your question is? I think I've unmuted your line.
Hi, this is Lisa Meisenbacher on the line, and I really enjoyed the pithy discussion that Debbie shared with us. And one of the themes that I especially love about what she spoke about was the human side to what we do as project managers.
Absolutely.
And it just takes me back to a time very, very early on in my career when I was a technologist when one of my incredible mentors said to me, you know, Lisa, as a technologist, you really have to keep in mind that many times you're not fixing the computer or the application or the technology, so to speak. Many times you're really fixing the person. And I think in terms of delivering successful projects and just being successful overall as project managers, we can't lose sight of the human side to what we do. And I think Debbie captured that very eloquently in, you know, a very formalized manner, which I think I've done on a very intuitive basis as project manager. But it's nice to see kind of those methodologies or those approaches formalized, because in my 18 years of experience, I really see it as make or break. Because you can have the most wonderful gadget or widget from a technology perspective, but unless you're solving the business problem or making the customer or the stakeholder happy, you can't claim success. So that's pretty much all I wanted to share, but thanks you guys for listening.
Thank you, Lisa. That was excellent.
Again, if anybody wants to raise their hand, push 1-1 on your phone. I can also, if you like to, I could see more than one hand raised at a time, so don't worry about raising your hand at any time. If anybody else has any questions or comments about Debbie's sharing with us, go ahead and raise your hand. Any of the other panelists want to share something while we're waiting? I see we have another hand raised here. Why don't you state your name and what your question or comment is?
This is Mildred Bole, and my question is, what are some effective ways to get information on the stakeholders' feeling about the projects?
Mildred, my perspective would be that the more you can have the one-on-one conversations with people, the more candid, the more frank they will be with you. And while that is a time-consuming process, again, that's why I'd go back to my stakeholder analysis and say, okay, if I only have X hours to devote to this task, who are the really important people in terms of their influence and or their potential resistance, and have those one-on-ones. And those are tough conversations. It takes courage to go into someone's office knowing that you have a pretty good feel for the fact that they're opposed to what you've been asked to do as a project manager. But the best you can do is just be candid and open the kimono, if you will, and say, look, here's what we're trying to accomplish. My sense is perhaps you don't see it quite the same way, but based on your years of experience, based on your perspective, I'd really like to hear what your issues are. And be a good listener, and then figure out if there's some way to act on what you've just heard within the course of your project. So I'm afraid as much as it's time-consuming, when it comes to dealing with resistance, the one-on-one is going to be your best option. Email certainly is never going to cut it. So,
thank you.
Anyone else have any questions or comments? Steve, you're one of our new guest panelists. One of our new panelists. Do you have any comments to add to what Debbie has shared with us?
The stakeholders, typically you want to divide them up and categorize them in a certain area, starting out with the project stakeholders from the product stakeholders. And the product stakeholders, generally the ones that Debbie's kind of referring to, those that are affected by the problem and those who are impacted by the solution. And those who are affected by the problem, of course, you want to get, they're usually on their on your side because they're feeling the pain. And those are the ones who you can work with because they want the problem solved. The ones who are impacted, the ones that you will change as the project goes on. In the beginning, you might have one idea of a solution, and you usually can identify neighboring constituencies who might be affected when you bring on the solution. But as you go along and the solution may change, you may alter what it is that you're actually going to do to solve the problem, the constituencies that may be affected will also be changed. those are the ones you really got to be concerned about and follow Debbie's advice more carefully, because they're coming on late and they may not even know about the original problem. All they know is suddenly they're going to be impacted. And even if it sounds like it may be positive for them, it they will perceive it as not being positive because they're not in the beginning. Stakeholders that come in late in the game have a number of negative impacts in terms of disrupting things by bringing in new ideas and new concerns, being naturally resistant, or outright sabotage. And these are all different issues that Debbie has addressed that have to be dealt with, she says, on a one-on-one basis. The one thing that I would remind people or warn people about are those hidden stakeholders, the ones that you don't see right away, the indirect stakeholders who are gaining benefit from the system or the new change or the project, but they're doing it through someone else who is a direct user. So you tend to work with the people who are users and ignore the ones who are not. And there are many people out there who could possibly gain benefit, who could be enfranchised by your system, your project, your solution, but you don't talk to them because they aren't current users. It's a paradox. You focus on the users because they want to find out how to where the changes are and what will be the impact and what is the positive aspects, but you never talk to those who don't do anything with the system. And yet, if you did talk to them, they could use the system, become enfranchised, and be your greatest boosters. Those are just a couple of thoughts I had, and they're right along the lines with what Debbie is saying.
Those are great points, Steve, but particularly the fact that stakeholders change throughout the course of the project.
Yes, I've had that happen to me many a time on many projects. Again, if anybody wants to push 1-1 to raise their hand, we'll take their questions at this time. I think I heard someone on the panel had a comment there.
Yes, this is Mara. If you don't have a question, I just wanted to share a story of the recent project that I had. It was with a government state agency, and I sat down with the gentleman who was the sponsor of the project, and we started making a list of all those people who would be affected by it. And when we had about 30 names on the list, he just looked at me and said, "Oh, my God, I didn't realize this." He had been focused on just him and the IT people, but it really didn't dawn on him until we sat down and went through one by one what we were going to do and how we were going to do it, that we came up with all the people who indeed were stakeholders. So for many users, it's really an education as to what who a stakeholder is, because they don't see, they have somewhat tunnel vision, I've discovered, and I'm sure we've all had that experience. But we need to teach them what it is that we're looking for in a stakeholder so we can identify them easily. And I think Steve is one of the best people at identifying stakeholders. That's my editorial comment.
That's your opinion, and you're sticking to it, right, Mara?
You got it.
Anybody else? I think we have one time here for one more question, if anybody wants to raise their hand. I'll tell you what, Debbie, I don't see anyone raising their hands. Is there any last-minute advice that you would like to give us about managing stakeholders?
No, I think I really appreciate the feedback that people provided tonight. And, again, the presentation is on the Yahoo website, and you are welcome to use it.
Yes, for those of you that are interested, if you're not already a member of the Yahoo group, if you visit our website at pmlessonslearn.com, you'll see on the left-hand side there's a link there where you can get a link to our Yahoo group and follow that link and you can join the group. Once you've joined the group, you can log on to Yahoo. Again, this is a free service. And once you're there, on the left-hand side, there's a navigation through the Yahoo group site, and one of the links is for files, and I have put Debbie's presentation there, and it is a very good presentation. I was following along with it while Debbie was speaking, and actually there's a lot of other tidbits in there, Debbie, that I know that you could share with us at some point. Thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
Now, what I'd like to do at this time is I'd like to share a few minutes of our career segment for project managers. Rod Colon is not able to be with us this evening. He got called into a special meeting with the president of Cardinal Hayes High School in Brooklyn, in the Bronx near Yankee Stadium. And I just talked to him before the call, and he was just about to get on the subway. And I can remember back in the days when I worked in the city just a few years ago, and you used to be able to use your cell phone on the trains, but that's all been shut off now for security concerns. Well, he met with the president of Cardinal Hayes High School, and he's going to turn the alumni group, I think it is, into a professional networking group to leverage people that are CFOs and CEOs of many major corporations in the New York tri-state area, which is going to be a help to everybody in the ETP network that Rod runs, that is our sponsor, is ETP Network. And that, of course, is going to trickle down to pmlessonslearned.com and will be a big help to us and our network and our group as well. They have 65 years of experience behind them at Cardinal Hayes, and Regis Philbin is one of the people that are involved in supporting that organization. So I'm excited to hear from Rod in the near future to find out what he was able to find out there and what he's able to turn this opportunity into. Rod was with us on Tuesday night, for those of you that attended the PMI New Jersey chapter meeting here in New Jersey. He spent a good amount of time with us sharing some career advice, and I'm going to take a moment. I asked Rod if I could share this all with you folks since he wasn't able to be on the call. And what he did was he took the time to do some role-playing with us. He explained how important it is to have business cards with you when you're networking at a meeting, whether it be a networking meeting or a business meeting, whether it be at your company or amongst friends or new people that you're meeting. And what he explained is don't be like the person that thinks that they're networking by running around and meeting everybody and just saying, here's my business card, how you doing, shake your hand, move to the next person, or who is it that you're going to be talking to next. And he role-played that, and you could see that that wasn't really the type of person that any of us is going to remember or want to you know, stay in contact with. What he explained to us, and he role-played actually with Barbara Fuller, who's on the call, is he said, you know, Barbara, hi, my name is Rod, and, you know, let me find out what it is that you do. Tell me a little bit about what you do. And Barbara shared with him a little bit. And he says, hey, do you have a business card, Barbara? And, of course, Barbara had one because everybody knows they should have one to share. She handed it to Rod, and Rod turned it over. And on the back, he started, you know, what are the things that, what are your goals? What is it that I can help you with? What can I help you with? And Barbara shared some information with him, and she said, you know, I could use some more clients to work with. I can, you know, use some other people in my organization. So he started writing this all down on the back of the card and dated it. And one of the things that Rod always points out is in order to network with people and to build your network, that information that's on the back of that card is something that you should put into a spreadsheet. And he has an example of a spreadsheet available on his Yahoo group. You follow the files link on his Yahoo group, and again, it's free to join. I'll send out a link with the recap of this call. In that spreadsheet, you can put down the name of the person you contacted and other pertinent information, and you can project manage your network. Keep track of when you need to contact this person next. If you read the book by Keith Ferrazzi called Never Eat Alone, it's a book about networking and how important it is. In Chapter 21, he shares about how important it is to ping, what he calls pinging these people, talking to them every once in a while to keep in touch with these folks and sharing with them ideas. Rod shared with us, what do you talk to people about when you gain contact with you? He said, remember the acronym FORMG. You talk to them about F, family. O, Barbara, do you remember what O was? I forget. Let's see if we can remember. Occupation.
Yes, occupation.
R is recreation. What kind of recreation things do they do? M is money. We all like to talk about money. And G is, what are their goals? And that's the thing that you want to make sure that you get is, what is the person's goal so that you can help them out? Networking isn't about tit for tat. Networking isn't about, hey, what can you give me? Give me, I need a job. Networking is about, hey, how can I help you? Eventually, you'll build a network of people, and when you are down in the dumps or you need some help or you just need somebody to help you out with something, your network is there to support you. But the idea is to give. I mean, this goes back to the golden rule, right, folks? Now, I want to tell a little story. I'm going to make this quick, but I call this the salad bowl story. You'll know why in a moment. But this is a story that's probably going to be passed around by a lot of you to explain how important networking is. The other day when I was at the PMI meeting, I had talked to a lot of people and caught up with some people, and actually, I didn't get a chance to talk to everybody that I wanted to. But I was talking to some people, and I realized it's time to eat dinner, so I grabbed a plate. And while I was there, somebody walked up to me that I know, and I said, how are you doing? And he says, I'm doing pretty good, but, you know, I'm still out of work. I still haven't found anything. I said, wow, I can't believe it. It's been months. I said, do you have a business card? Because I wanted to take his business card and write on the back of it some information about him and contact him so I could help him out. Well, believe it or not, he didn't have a business card, and I was disappointed. And, you know, I had a plate in my hand, and I couldn't do this, but one of the things that Rod says is if the person doesn't have a business card, take out one of your own, give it to the other person, take out a second one of your own, and tell him, I need your contact information. Give it to me on my card here, and then you can write on the back of your card the information and keep that one with you so you could contact the person. But I was really disappointed that I didn't have this guy's contact information. I said, contact me via the PMLessonsLearn.com website, please, so I can help you out. Not 30 seconds from when I talked to this guy, I walked over to the banquet table, and there at the table, there was a salad bowl, and I went to reach in, and there was another gentleman there. And, you know, it had already gotten kind of late in the dinner hour at this point, and there wasn't any salad left. And I said to him, you know, I'm going to go over to the other buffet table and see if there's salad over there. It's further from the door. And he said, you know, I'll join you. Let's go on a little adventure here to find some salad. So we took off over there to find salad. And around the salad bowl, which we found, believe me, we found a lot of salad over at the other buffet, we found the salad we were looking for, but we got a chance to talk on the way. Him and I talked, and he gave me his business card, and I turned it over, and you know what he told me was his need? He needs some project managers. Ah, my heart dropped. I had just talked not 60 seconds before with a project manager looking for a job, and he didn't have a business card to give me. And here was standing, perhaps, the answer to his question, the answer to his search. So that's what we're about here at PM Lessons Learned. We're about project managers helping project managers. We're about people talking over a salad, all right? We're about people sharing with each other and helping each other out. You know, I'd like to thank everybody that's on the call tonight, and I'd like to thank QualityConferenceCall.com for hosting this call and ETPNetwork.com, Rod Cologne, for starting this call on its way and sponsoring us. I'd like to thank the panelists, Barbara Fuller, Mara Burns, our new panelist, Steve Blase, and our guest speaker, Debbie Neuschaller, that shared such a great story with us about her lessons learned. And I want to thank all of you for joining, and I hope that all of you will think about sending to us and joining the Yahoo group and sending to us via the link on the website the needs that you have so that we can send them out in our Help Each Other email that I'll be sending out to the email group on Yahoo in a few weeks. Again, get that information to me by the end of the month. And when the email comes out, take a look at it and see who can you help. Who can you contact to help out in that group? That's what we're all about here, is project managers helping project managers. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please stay on the call if you'd like to for our networking segment. God bless you all, and until the next time, keep on learning.
Well, I'm sure that you enjoyed and learned a lot from this conference call. Please join us for a future call. We now have 2 conference calls per month. One is our PMP exam study group, and the other is our lessons learned call that you just listened to. Please join our Yahoo group for more information about our calls and information to further your project management career. Details are at pmlessonslearned.com. We hope you'll continue to listen in to our podcasts and tell others about our podcasts in our group, pmlessonslearned.com. We're all about project managers helping project managers. And until the next time, keep on learning.
This has been a PM Lessons Learned podcast. Project Managers, helping project managers by sharing lessons learned. Come join our group. Visit our website at pmlessonslearned.com. Till next time, keep on learning.